say amen.
All right, I want to read. We're talking on the life of faith. And one of the persons that we've looked at, or people that we've looked at for the life of faith, is Abraham. What a good example of it. I'm a good example myself, but I'll let Abraham take it tonight. All right, look what it says in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterwards receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. And by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles and with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is who? God. Let's go over to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to do what to him? Raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he had received him in a figure. Praise God. All right. So we've been talking on the life of faith. Faith, we said, brings you into a world of unlimited possibilities. Faith brings you into a world of unlimited possibilities. And that faith must be fed. We said over in Luke chapter 17, he said, which of you have a servant feeding cattle, would go out and say unto him after he's finished, come in and lie around or whatever have you. But what we are saying is that faith is a servant of the believer. Faith is a servant of the believer. And faith establishes man's companionship with God. Faith establishes man's companionship with God. And the other thing about faith is that faith is created. Look, creative. Look what it says in verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So what we're saying here is that what you see was not made out of something which is visible. That when faith made it, it made it out of something that was invisible. Well, what is that something? Look at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for, and the evidence of things, come on, not seen. Have anybody in here, have you ever seen one of those folks who build houses and so forth? Have you ever seen them pour concrete? Anybody ever seen that? Well, first they put up, let's say they're going to build a walkway, and they put up some wooden boards on the sides. And then they take this liquid, this stuff that's liquid now, cement, and they take this thing and they let it run down into this form. All right? And then it hardens. And then you can walk on it. Now, when I was a kid, we used to wait till they left and then have our way. All our names went in there, everything went in there. But my point to you is notice faith is a substance. Now, hope is the goal setter, meaning that gives you the boundaries by which your faith is going to work. So you need both. Somebody tries to get faith without hope, and then some other people try to get hope with no faith. And either way, it won't work. It needs both parts. Okay? So I'm going to put concrete now in this particular thing that I'm building here, and this hope, these borders are going to establish how far this whole substance is going to go. And it gets the form of that and hardens and becomes a manifestation of what you want. So faith, this earth was not made out of nothing. It was made out of a substance that you couldn't see. Got it? And it's called faith. Now, where does that faith substance come from? Okay, it comes from God. But how does it get it into you? Through the word. As you hear the word, the substance builds. Got it? The substance builds as you hear the word. You can be sitting down there listening to me, and if you just don't reject me, then you receive what I say, then faith is coming. Faith is coming. As you hear it and you say, yeah, okay, I understand that. Just when you just did that, boom, faith just came. So it's coming. Now it's building. Now, it's no good if it just comes, because you can just sit on it and it'll not do you any good, because you can't feel it. The only thing you know, the only sign I've ever seen is you get happy. You feel better about things than you felt when you came in here. You know what I'm saying? But that's because faith is coming into your heart. It's filling your heart. And faith is a force from God that he's giving to you to do the same thing he did. For you to dominate this earth, for you to create things for your life. You got what I'm saying? Faith can do that because it's a substance. It transfers what's already in the eternal, in God, and it transfers it through an unknown, unseen, unfelt, unable to detect substance. It transfers it right on into this earth. Now, once that faith comes out, it's just like God. When the Holy Spirit was there, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It said the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth, over the face of the waters. It moved. It just moved. Now notice, nothing happened. He's just moving. What is he waiting on? He's waiting on the word, because the word is going to carry God's what? Faith. It's going to carry his substance. It's going to carry his substance out to the point. See, his word is going to carry it out to the point. See, and once it gets out to the point, the job of the Holy Spirit is to always manifest the word. It's to manifest the word. The Holy Spirit's job is to manifest the word. It's to manifest the word. So there's nothing impossible. Why? Because if it's broke, you can fix it with the word. Whatever is in this earth that's broke, God has another, he has a repair station for it. Doesn't make any difference. Remember Charles and Francis Hunter, we were just learning these things, my wife and I, and we went to go to their meetings and so forth, and just used to watch them work, and they Jesus was doing all kinds of things in their meetings. The Holy Spirit was moving. And I remember that guy would come in, he said, well, what's wrong with you? And the people would be up for healing. Well, my heart is bad and so forth. And she would say things, I speak a new heart in you. I mean, she'd say that. I said, man, boy, that's a lot of gunction. You speak a new heart in somebody. But true enough, before that meeting was over, somebody had come back and had gone to the doctor, and the doctor said, you got the heart of a 16-year-old. That kind of thing. See, I'm saying, now, once you get faith, impossibilities go away. They all go away. You can tell when people, like I said, it doesn't take you much to figure out there ain't much in your brain. I mean, compared to what's outside, you follow what I'm saying? What are we going to do now? I tell you what we're going to do now. We're going to get over into faith. That's what we're going to do. See? So faith is designed for the impossible. It's designed to really, really fix you, whatever situation you might be in. Now, what I was getting at is that you just can't sit on your faith. You got to use your faith. You got to put your faith to work. You got to do what we call release your faith. All right, let's go to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. By the way, did we get and pass out the prayer sheets for India? Do you have them? I need you to start praying tonight. Start confessing that on that prayer sheet tonight. If you don't have one, please pick one up over the internet. It should be one on the website that you can pick up. And if it's not on there, somebody's going to be in trouble. And but they can pick it up on the website. And please confess that over our lives here. We're going to India for next week. After we're going Sunday night or Monday morning, whatever it is. But we really need, I've felt some opposition already. So we need that, we need saints to come together and pray and so forth. Luke 17, verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, that met him 10 men that were what? Lepers, which stood where? Afar off. Now, why do they stand afar off? Anybody know? Okay, the contagiousness of leprosy. They were put them outside of the camps and so forth, and they would stand afar off. When I was in Africa one time, I remember going on a certain highway. It was a long highway, but you'd see lepers who were way outside the villages and so forth, but they flag you to just throw some money out or throw something out of the window as you pass by so that they could eat and buy food and so forth. But they stood afar off, so I've seen that before. Number 13, verse 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, come on, keep going, they were cleansed. As they what? Went. Now notice, a leper in this time was not supposed to show themselves to the priest until they had evidence of being healed. They would show themselves to the priest and the priest would do a ceremony and they could come back into camp. But Jesus is ahead of the program here. He is saying the evidence is faith. And he heard faith in their voice. You hear what I'm saying? You can hear faith in people's voices. You know, I went to preach in somewhere, and I won't say where it is, but I remember talking to the leadership, and I didn't hear any faith. So I just started talking faith. I said, well, it's going to be all right. Praise God. We're going to work it out. It's going to be all right. Hallelujah. So forth and so on. I just had to kind of feed my, because I saw that stuff was coming in on me. Are you following what I'm saying? So it's interesting how fear is contagious and so is faith. Because before I left, he was, all right, praise God. It's going to be all right now. You know, it's amazing. You call it the spirit of faith. You go into the Marines and that's what they do. They build up faith when they're in training camp and so forth like that. And hop, two, three, four, hop, you know, you know how to say the song. What are they doing? They're keeping the spirit alive. Keeping the right spirit alive. See? So I'm saying when you cry out or when you do certain things, God is listening and looking for your faith. Why? Because he needs faith to move. Got it? And their faith was going to be in his mercy. You can have faith for God to just have mercy on you. Isn't that wonderful? You can get healed by the mercy of God. Isn't that something? You don't have enough faith, a lot of faith for anything else, but you got some faith that God going to have mercy on me. I know he's going to have some mercy on me. Lord have mercy, you know. My mother used to say that all the time. Lord have mercy. Because I was wearing them out over there when I was a little boy. Okay, but you need faith to raise me. I believe that they had to have faith in me. I was just inquisitive. Look what it says here. Verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice, he glorified God. He fell down on his face, at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise and go thy way. God's power has made you whole. See, that's not what it says, did it? Jesus didn't say, I made you whole. Jesus didn't say, God made you whole. He didn't do anything. What did he say? Thy faith has made you whole. Question. When did we get healed? Before the foundation of the world. Now, if you can't figure that out, go 2,000 years back. And the Bible says, he himself, can I take it to the scriptures? Let's go up to Isaiah, please. Isaiah chapter 53. See? Faith is not talking about something that does not exist. Faith is the substance of things what? Hope for. Keep going. The evidence. What's another word for evidence?
Proof
of what? Things what? Not seen or not visible yet. It does exist, but it's not visible yet. So faith is the proof. You can't have proof for something that's not there. You're proving the fact that it's there. It exists. So your healing already exists. It already exists. Whatever you need from God already exists. God has already done it. He's sitting down. He's taking a rest. Now you use your faith. What are you using your faith to do? Transfer it from where it is right now into your life. Say amen to that. And he'll give you whatever you can believe for. It doesn't make any difference what you believe for. He'll bring it right on. I mean, according to life in God. You can't believe God for somebody else's purse. But you have to believe God for something that's consistent with the nature of God. Say amen to that. Okay. All right. What did I tell you to turn? Isaiah 53. So notice what he said here. He said, hey, were there not 10 cleansed? Well, how did Jesus know that there were 10 cleansed and he didn't see them yet? By what? By faith. Because he knew that if they released their faith, it happened. And he's going to keep his faith on it. I remember one night we were in Tulsa and I was doing a service. And what happened was a gentleman came up and he needed to be delivered. He had so forth and so on. So I prayed for him and, you know, he went on this and so forth and stuff came out. And I said, hey, I said, and I knew in my heart, I felt in my heart that everything wasn't out of him yet. He still needed, you know, some deliverance. And I said, I'm going to put my faith on that. I'm going to put my faith on it. As I spoke that word, it will happen. And I remember what his girlfriend said something about. He got up late at night and went to the window, and it was a full moon. He opened the window and howled like a dog and then fell out on the floor. And then the next morning, he got up and went and got a job for the first time in 3 years. Now, I'm only saying, if I don't see any manifestation, I'm still going to put my faith on it. I'm still going to keep my faith on it because that's the only thing you got to work with right now. Is my faith. Say amen to that. All right. Are you still with me? Look what he says here in verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and what? Afflicted. But he was wounded for our what? Transgressions. He was bruised for our what? Iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was where? Upon him. Keep going. And with his stripes, we what? Are healed. Now, I want you to notice here, this is before Jesus ever came into the earth. Yoo-hoo! This is before he ever came into the earth. So now, Isaiah is prophesying. He is seeing the promised land. From where he's standing, he's seeing a couple of thousand years ahead, and he's speaking it. He himself took, understand, God is putting it in his heart. Say amen to this. But it has already happened because it happened before the foundation of the world. Turn. Turn to Revelation. Can I take you all here? Turn to Revelation chapter 13, please. Revelation chapter 13, then I'm going to Luke chapter 1. Revelation chapter 13. I'm talking about the life of faith. Now, you have this same kind of faith. Say, I have this kind of faith. Revelation chapter 13. All right, look at 13, Revelation 13, verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall do what to him? Worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain, keep going, from the foundation of the world. Question, first of all, who is the Lamb?
Jesus.
When was the Lamb slain? For the foundation of the world. Now, but we know he was on the cross 2,000 years ago. But when in the mind of God was it done? For the foundation of the world. Only thing Jesus did is walked it out. But on the way, the prophet saw what was going to happen because he looked back and he looked forward. And he said, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He didn't say gonna bear. That's future. Ain't no future in God. He had borne. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. So he looked forward in terms of the cross. Now, Peter looked backwards. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Take him to, all right, I'll take my time. Amen. I'm going to talk about time in a minute here. That's all right. You looking forward, Doc. Okay, look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. Who his own self, okay? 1 Peter chapter 2, over by the book of Revelation. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body, come on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto what? Righteousness. Keep going. By whose stripes? Keep going. We what? We were healed. See, what are you doing? He's looking back. He wasn't there at the cross. Yes, he was. This is Peter. He said, by his stripes, we were healed. He got a revelation of what happened to us when Jesus went to the cross. We got healed. Say amen to this.
Amen.
So only thing I'm saying is, look at all of this. It has to be done by faith. So by faith, I can see forward. By faith, I can see backwards. And let's go to another place. Let's go to Luke chapter 1, please. Luke chapter 1. How are we doing? Are we going too fast? Luke chapter 1. I asked, was this Bible study when y'all open this thing up here? Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 1. This is when the angel came to Mary and told Mary that she has been highly favored of the Lord. And he said, blessed art thou among women. Look at verse 28. All right, the angel came to her. And verse 29, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation it should be. And the angel said to her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found what? Favor with God. Wow. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name who? Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give him unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no what? End. Then said Mary unto the angel, well, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And she's a virgin. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. And therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. There had to be some faith in it somewhere. And And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Elizabeth was barren. And in her old age, she had her faith on the line and conceived a baby. For with God, nothing, come on, shall be impossible. Another translation of that verse is, no word of God is void of power. Isn't that wonderful? And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed. What did Mary do? She received it. She received it. I mean, think of that. This is impossible. I'm just sitting up here telling you right now, and I look at you in the face and say, behold. Y'all watching what I'm going to say on this behold. Right? Next week, this time, you'll be a millionaire. Amen. Now, you see what I'm saying? You see, that the only thing she had is favor. And you got that. But she received. Say receive. You got what I'm saying? Now, she ran to Elizabeth's house because she's going to tell it. Tell what? She's going to tell Elizabeth that she's expecting. Expecting what? You were never laid with a man. How are you going to expect anything? No. God put a seed in her by faith. But he couldn't have done it if she hadn't exercised her faith. Say amen. So not only did she receive it, she went totally. Because when it's faith working, you have confidence that whatever you receive will come to pass. Praise God. Now go to Mark chapter 11, please. You got what I'm saying? Now she couldn't feel anything. Could she feel anything? Didn't feel any different, I'm telling you. Couldn't feel a thing. Only thing she knew is she had conceived. Praise God, I got it. This baby is coming out of me. Now, once she got to Elizabeth's house, Elizabeth went off in the Holy Ghost. Boy, she began to prophesy over her. And I'm telling you, when you've conceived something from God and it start growing inside of you, you'll see that people on the outside begin to start confirming something that you believe in for. Girl, I had a dream about you last night. I had a dream you got a brand new Mercedes, debt-free, girl. I believe. You say, hey, be it unto me, praise God. Because what? This thing is beginning to show. Show. You got what I'm saying? If you're expecting a baby, you somewhere he's going to start showing. Are you? Am I right about it? I mean, I'm being, because this is a part of life now, but somewhere. Are you following what I'm saying? So notice, she had nothing to hang on to. Nothing. Nothing to hang on to. Except the word. And I'm telling you, when God gives you a word, you got nothing to hang on to. But what happens with a lot of people's lives on the way to Elizabeth's house, they run up against some storms in life. Oh, I don't know whether that was right or not. I praise God. By the time they get to Elizabeth's house, she don't want them there. And because she got no prophecy for you. Because you let that thing go. See, you got to hold on to between I believe I've received and there it is. You got to hold on to the confession of your faith without wavering. All right, let's look at Mark chapter 11. We're talking about the life of faith now. Mark chapter 11. Over in Mark chapter 11, he says this. I'm just going to read one scripture here. And this is Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, talking about you now, what things soever you desire When you pray, believe that ye receive them. Keep going. And you shall have them. Richard Francis Weyman says this. That is why I tell you, whatever you pray and ask for, if you believe that you have received it, it shall be yours. Do you hear what I'm saying? And what I'm saying to you is faith means that we have left the sense realm. We have left it. The senses can't tell you where you are. No more. No more. And you're going to find that's going to be the toughest part of faith, because you and I have been trained in the senses. We live off the senses. We look at it every day and powder it and put hair on it and so forth, whatever we do. That's all right. Whatever you do. I mean, and you're all, we're sense driven. And what you got to do now is understand that faith makes you back off the senses. Now, you got to believe something you can't see, feel, touch, taste, or smell. Say amen to this. And it takes a little training, but you're going to get there, and I'm speaking it by faith. I said, you will have what you say. Remember, the natural senses belongs to the natural man. Are you with me here? Once you go up into faith, there's something that the natural senses cannot participate in. All right? Can I go a little step further? Flow, okay. All right. Now, you and I are no longer defined by this world. The world can't tell you who you are anymore. Lord have mercy. The world can't tell you how far you can go. The world can't even tell you who you are or what you can have. Say amen to that. The world can't even tell you how much is too much, because the world doesn't even know. All right. Let's do this. I want to get this last piece here, and then we'll quit. Revelation. Now, these, I started on this last time. Well, let's go over here. Let's go over to Romans chapter 4, please. Romans chapter 4. How are we doing? We doing okay? Romans chapter 4. All right, I want to read all this because of time, but normally I start at verse 13, because what's 13 telling you is that because you're the seed of Abraham, have become an heir of the world, that you have inherited this entire earth. And we have, folks. Now, don't be trying to figure that out in your natural mind, because that's not a natural statement there. It's a supernatural statement. Then it said in verse 16, therefore, it's of faith that it might be by grace. So you're going to have to do this thing by faith, that it might be by grace, so the end of promise might be sure to all the seed. All right. Then he goes in verse 17. This is where I want to pick up. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which what? Be not as though they were. All right. Now, what am I saying here? All right. Let's go back to Eden for a minute. In Eden, mankind was not made to die. He was an eternal being, because his existence was above the existence of time, space, and matter. Okay? So mankind, Adam and Eve, their existence was what we call eternal. And God spoke to them. He said, don't eat of that tree, because the day you eat of that, you're going to surely die. You're going to lose this eternal status. And what they did is they ate of it. And once they did, now where they were ruling in the eternal and the temporal, now they were locked out of the eternal and now existing only in this temporal, physical, three-dimensional world. So, because of this, now they're under time. And time is now a mediator between man and his dreams. Okay? So, the fact of the matter is that time now is telling man what to do or what's going to happen, rather than man governing time. Because you were never meant to serve time. Time was meant to serve you. Can I prove that to you? I want to prove it to you right quick. Just put something right there. Turn to Psalm chapter 8, and you got to do it quickly. I got 3 minutes up here. You got to do it quickly. Psalm chapter 8. All right. In Psalm chapter 8, you're there, right? Look what it says here in verse 3. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, and the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the who? Angels. Now that angels there is not angels that fly around. This word angel in the Hebrew is Elohim, which means God. Thou hast made him a little lower than God, and has crowned him with what? Glory, that's anointing, and honor, that's position. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the what? Works of thy hands. Keep going. And thou hast put all things under where? His feet. Do things in the beginning include time? Yep. Time was an element in this earth just like a tree. And God put a lease in this earth called time. And you look in Revelation, pretty soon the lease is going to run out and time will be no more. Be gone. Now, what has happened? Because of Adam's sin, man now is being dictated to by time. Time has now become a tyrant because Satan needs time to work his work. You with me? I looked up the word tyrant or tyranny. And a tyrant is a ruler or master who uses power to oppress his subjects. It's exercising of unlawful authority or lawful authority in an unlawful manner. That's coming out of Webster 1828 dictionary. So what am I saying? Tyranny. Tyranny is the arbitrary exercise of power. It's unresisted and cruel power. It's absolute monarchy. Time. Time tells you what to do. Now you got to get this because this is a revelation. Now remember what revelation is. If I got information, I got what you just gave me. And I can process information right up here in my brain. You can go to algebra class, so you tell you this, so forth and so on and so on. But not in this Bible here in terms of revelation. Because you can't process that or get that unless the Holy Ghost shows it to you. Got it? But revelation is so dangerous because revelation looks through time. See, it looks through time. Revelation will have you see future. What time makes you wait. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, your mind and my mind have been trained in time. So I got to renew my mind to the fact that time doesn't tell me what to do anymore. So where it takes people this long to do that, I can do something with time. Because I don't have to wait till payday. Because I can do something with time. I don't have to wait on a healing. Because I can do something with time. Are you following what I'm saying? Look in the book of Mark. Don't go there. Book of Mark. Notice one of the major things in Mark is immediately he was healed. Straightway she was delivered. Yes, suddenly. Praise God. Just like that. Why? Because Jesus was overriding time. Why? He was taking you back to the garden. He was taking you back. Paul calls him the last Adam. He was taking you back to show you the dominion that you and I had in the Garden of Eden. And now you've been born again. The same dominion has come back into you right now. And you can do the same thing with time. Now understand, right now your mind is trying to figure this out. But if you just let it go into your spirit, let your spirit tell your mind what to do, because your mind been trained, we've been programmed in time. The first thing we say, hey, you know, I hope we get there sooner. I hope with him for it, so on. Never thinking that, hey, wait a minute, maybe I can do something with time. Are you with me? So now, I mean, you see this in Star Wars. I mean, don't they go warp? Say amen to this. I mean, it's a function of speed. I mean, you go, Lord have mercy, how did I get on Star Wars? Okay, now. Come back to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Let me go to Romans chapter 4. Are you with me? Now, understand. You got to stay with me, because you're going to have to walk by faith if you want God to move on your behalf. Now, what I'm showing you here is verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead, quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things that what? Be not, as though they were. Okay, so do I ever say I'm going to get healed? No. Why? Because I've just come under time, and time is a wicked master. Time will make you run out. Doctors have told people you don't have long to live. And time, it mastered them. Say amen to that. Now, I'm not saying anything against physicians. My point to you is wait a minute. If you run up against somebody like that has faith, they're going to say, wait a minute. He doesn't tell you what time you got. Not when God told you what time you have. Yes, sir. He cannot run. Now, understand, he's doing the best he can, but they've been trained in time. My point to you is, wait a minute, God can heal you now. Or you don't have to be concerned about you got 6 weeks. If you get this, see, if you get a revelation of time, then faith becomes easy. And the same law that handles faith handles matter and space.
That's right.
The same law. That's why Jesus could walk on the water. The same law. That's why he could tell them to go to the other side, and by the time they got there, he was there. Folks, he transported himself. All right, then I know this doesn't mean nothing to some of y'all. Y'all, I'm going to have to do this by faith. I'm finishing up now. Just sit here till I finish up. That's my done. So he calls things that what?
Be not
as though they were. Why? Because if I'm going to get God to move, I've got to say what God said. And God did not say, you're going to be healed. He didn't say that. You never read that in that Bible. What you read is, by his stripes you are healed. So I've got to take time out of my conversation, because faith is always when. Now. Now, if you look at the scripture, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, what? Believe you receive them and you shall have them. Believe you receive them when?
Now.
See, once I pray, boom, I believe I receive it. Now, wait a minute. Time starts marching by. Time starts marching by. Now, when did I believe I received it?
Now.
I didn't believe I received it now. I believe I received it back there when I believe I received it. See, I can't, y'all with it. I can't move forward and then call this now. This is not now. Now is back here when I received it. I received it on October, what's today's date? The 13th at, whatever time it is, at 8:39 in Forest Park, sitting up at Living Word Christian Center. That's when I received it. And I'm gonna write a little note to myself to remind the devil that that's when I got it. Now, can I feel it? Can I feel it yet? No, I can't feel it, but my faith is pulling it on into existence. Come on, the concrete is getting hard. Come on now, it's happening to me, and pretty soon, boop, there it is. There it is. Say amen to this. I believe somebody got that thing for the first time up in here. Now, you believe you receive it now, when you pray. See? And if you believe you received it now and have to pray again over here, what happened? Either you didn't believe you received it here, or you just negated that, and now you're starting all over again. Now the concrete has to be poured again. And now, how do I know all this is true? How do I know all this is true? Turn to Romans chapter 3, and that's all we're going to do. So how old was Abraham when he had a baby? He's 99 or 100 years old. How old was Sarah? 90 years old. Did Sarah ever have children? No. Why? Because she was barren. But what did faith do to her womb? It opened it up. It'll take barren wombs and open them up. Somebody got to shout in here. I'm telling you, this is good stuff, man. Don't let the world tell you what you can do, where you can go, what's impossible for you, because you can take your faith and open it up. I said, you can take your faith and get your debts paid in full by December 31st of 2010. Say amen to that. You can get that 7-bedroom home that you want, come on now, and paid for debt-free, because it's all in the book. And what's in the book, you can use your faith to get it anytime. Anytime. And it makes no difference. And let me tell you something, folks. We need to start talking like this, because the world is trying to get us to put our revelation under a bushel basket and not be vocal about it. But somebody asks you, you know, how you doing? You might be doing terrible, but by faith you say, I'm doing just fine, thank you. They said, now how can you say that? Say, listen to me. I'm doing just fine, thank you. That's how I can say that. You're saying it by faith. Say amen to that. See, you're not denying sickness. What you're doing is you're denying sickness to have any rulership over you. That's why some people don't want this kind of message, because they say, oh, you part of that name it and claim it, blabbing and grab it bunch. No, Abraham call things that be not as though they were. I've got the same faith that Abraham had. And as he called things that be not as though they were, I'm going to call things that be not as though they were. And the same God that did it for Abraham, the same God that did it for Mary, the same God that did it for the 10 lepers, it's going to do it for me. Praise God. Halabashata. You look at Romans chapter 3, if you will, and look at verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true and every man be a liar. That's all I got. Give the Lord. Oh, yeah. Now remember, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Now understand, it's got power with it. It comes with power. So it will quicken mortal bodies, meaning that if there's a part of your body that's dead, it will bring it back alive again. So that's the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. See, the Holy Ghost is just waiting on the word. He's hovering right now. You know, hovering means like a chicken. Have you seen a chicken? My dad used to have some chicken. Boy, I hated them chickens. But he used to have those chickens, and they used to always be brooding. You know, they're sitting on eggs, see? But they're waiting for these eggs to do what? Hatch. See, the Holy Ghost is, he's over the earth. He's all over this earth. He's waiting for the word. The Bible said the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole world, looking for someone whose heart is toward him. See, he's looking for some faith somewhere, because wherever faith is, that's where he's going. Praise God, because it's a companionship with God. Boy, y'all got me on faith now. You see, my faith is on fire. All right. If somebody's here and you have not been born again, this is a time for you. What happens now is we want to get people who are outside the kingdom into the kingdom of God. Now, God desires, the Bible says that.